I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Hi, friends. This week we're doing a little What Would Leo Do? I've been going through some stuff. I didn't post last week, and I almost wasn't going to post this week because I sat down to record a couple times, and my soul just didn't have shit to say. I'm in the middle of like a huge upgrade breakthrough kind of thing, so I don't want to try and force it out before it's ready. I'll hit you with it next week if it's done. I had a little martini, so I'm ready to talk some shit, all right? We're going to do What Would Leo Do? I'm not planning this. I'm just going to pick them as I find them. So, first person said, I have two best friends. One of them is fucking my ex-boyfriend, knowing I don't want her to. And the other one says she sees it's wrong, but isn't going to stop being friends with her over it. And she's literally hanging out with my ex and my best friend the day after. She wants to know whether or not it's valid to drop my friends over this. Yeah, I've dropped friends for way less. I'm big on assessing loyalty and who it lies with. So your friend who is being friends with your other friend who's fucking your ex, her loyalty lies with her. It don't lie with you. If her loyalty lied with you, she would cut that friend off with you. But she's tighter with the other girl. So you need to wake up to you're the outsider in the group. The girl who's with your ex is not going to care. She doesn't care how you feel, what you think. She's going to do what she wants to do. And your other friend's going to be there to support her. So if that makes your decision easier to make, you're not wrong for cutting them off, but you need to see where the loyalty lies. It ain't with you, baby. Stop me. But I'd rather tell you the truth so you can stop prioritizing people who ain't going to be loyal to you how you'd be loyal to them. You know, I had a friend one time that I was really close with go to Miami with another friend of mine. And it was two guys, both straight. Straight guys, messy as hell. But the guy I was closer with ended up hooking up with the girl that my other friend was going to meet up with in Miami. He had already known her for a while and they were like going to meet up, whatever. And then the guy I was closer with ended up sleeping with her and kind of snaked her from the guy. I don't like that. I don't roll like that. If my friend likes you, you're off limits to me. So I don't understand people who are friends with somebody and then you go get with the person they're trying to get with or the person that they like or have a thing with. I don't get that. That wire is not connected in my head. When my friend likes you, you're off limits in my mind. I'm not exploring it further. I'm not looking further into it. So when my friend I was closer with acted on that and actually got with the girl that our other friend, he was friends with him too. He got with the girl our other friend was going to meet. That let me know you don't operate with loyalty how I do. So even though we never have that problem because I'm gay and he's straight, you're willing to fuck over your friend. So where am I the exception? Your character is you don't care about friendship loyalty. You want to get a little pitty pitty. Well, then you want to be loyal to your friend. So I distance myself from that friend. I don't have no like hard feelings or like bad blood with him. We haven't talked in a few years, but I don't like that. I see how you treat everyone you're friends with. And then I move accordingly. Because if you're willing to do that to one friend, you're willing to do it to all of them. What makes me different? All right, next person said, I got fired by my stupid ass boss with too much attitude. What should I do? Go find a new job. Why are you sweating it? Okay, cool. You're probably getting saved. You're getting redirected to something else. Why are you stressing out? Chill out. Go find a new job. Maybe God was ripping you out of this one because you weren't having the balls to leave, getting treated bad by your boss who talks to you like shit with attitude. You were willing to tolerate yourself being in that situation, but your higher self, your spirit guys, yo God, didn't want you there. So what you're not strong enough to do, God will scoot you out of it. That's just a sign that God loves you real bad. He's looking after you. Oh my God, all these messy ass... all these messy things y'all need help with. My ex-girlfriend and I broke up, but we've still been texting and talking since then. Today she told me that she kissed her old ex last night, and now I'm all over the place. I love her so much, but it really hurts to know that she did that. Yeah, you guys didn't have no title, and I'm sorry, but like, what did you expect? You're over here broke up, but you're still texting back and forth. She don't owe you no loyalty. Would I do that? No. But you got to realize who you're dealing with people. I have a thing with people. If we're dating, if we break up, I'm not touching nobody for at least a month. I don't entertain nobody. I don't talk to nobody. I give you a nice grace period in case you want to rekindle, relight the flame. You know, because if you touch somebody after we break up, you know, I will never get back with you again in my life. I have that weird like thing. I can't do it. I can't get with you knowing you've been with somebody else after. No, not happening. Can't do it. I want to kill everybody. Other people aren't like that. People don't operate like me. So when I have to like defend people, it's just like basic with like normal people. She didn't owe you no loyalty. Y'all didn't have no title on it. You were exes who were talking again. Okay, she kissed her old ex. You're an old ex too. She's talking to all her exes, isn't she? But also, I'm always going to like root for the girl.
Sorry.
I was going to have the girls back a little bit more, but you were just one of her exes too. She's kissing on you, kissing on him. Okay. Maybe she's a little slut, but you know what? That's what she's going to be. And you were dumb enough to tolerate it. You know what she is. Leave her be. Let her go be that. But yeah, I'll be pissed off too. I'll be real upset, but I would immediately write the girl off in my head. I will never talk to you again. That's what I would do. I'll be real upset. We'll probably cry about it a little bit. Nobody would see it, but I would ghost her fully. I'm not just going to get my feelings hurt, be betrayed in a way, get upset, and then, oh, it's okay, go back. No, it's not okay. I'm upset and pissed off, so I'm going to ghost you. Oh, here we go. What do you do if he starts suddenly distancing himself because of his mental health? It's a cop-out. What kind of weak-ass man you want who can't handle his own mental health? He got to pull away from you to like grow up. I can't stand the men nowadays. I can't stand people in general nowadays. Everybody's so fucking weak. I've been through things real bad, much, much worse, and kept going, kept being there for the people I needed to be there for. I can't stand that shit. So take it as an excuse. He's an excuse making little puto. You don't want to fucking deal with him anyway. He's weak. He's going to give you an excuse. Oh, I need to distance myself, my mental health. What the hell? Men used to go to war, and you over here can't handle a little, I'm sad. A little piece of pussy won't make you feel better. He's hopeless. Get rid of him. With a man, just like play with him a little bit. They should be much more happy. If that ain't enough for him, he needs to go get real help. His little mental health. It's an excuse. Because when you genuinely love someone, I think that's the point I'm trying to get to. I just keep poking fun. When you genuinely love somebody or care about somebody, family, friend, romantic, whatever it is, when you truly care for them, you're going to show up. No matter how bad you're doing. And I'm speaking as somebody who's had nothing to give and nothing of myself, wanted to not be here, was strung out doing anything I could to keep functioning. And I still showed up even at my worst moments, even if it was the last thing I did. I would peel myself out the fucking bed and be there for the people that needed me. So I'm not over here on my high horse, never have been through nothing, saying, oh, you have to show up for your friends. No, I would be so depressed in the bed, not wanting to do nothing. And when somebody needed me, the last thing I wanted to do, didn't even feel like I could take care of myself, I would get up. You want the truth? I would go do two lines, get up, nut up as a man, and go be there for the people who needed me. So... yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. He's a weak bitch. That's all you need to know. Oh, this is a good one. How do you come around to the idea of there being a higher power? I'm a very scientific person, and if I can't see it, it's hard for me to believe it. I literally listen to your podcast every day on my way to work, and I believe everything and want to start living a better life and tuning into my soul, but I just don't think it's possible until I can open up to a higher power. Girl, I've been all over the board. My relationship to God, my spirituality, everything I've got didn't come just because I read a book. I've been like followed certain religious things and then didn't, and then turned my back on God entirely. And then at certain points in my life was so hopeless and helpless. Like I prayed to God, heard nothing to help me deal with some shit that I was dealing with and certain things going on in my life. And I was like, you ain't listening. You're nothing. What the fuck? Where you at? I prayed to the devil. Sure did. I prayed to Abaddon, the most feared demon there is, allegedly, with all the storybooks and all this shit. It's the demon of neutrality, but he was very vicious, very mean. Yeah. Supposed to be all kind of powerful. When the devil didn't listen, I was praying to Abaddon. When that didn't work, I abandoned spirituality entirely. I was like, okay, this shit ain't real. Nobody want to say nothing. Everybody want to be on mute. Okay. So I've hit those points of absolute desperation. You turn to anything and everything, and it didn't work. I've been back and forth is my point of believing in things, not believing in things. I did the whole universe, law of attraction, spirituality, woo. Exactly. Woo-woo is what it is most of the time. The way that I've built my own connection to spirituality is through your emotions. That's your ticket in. And I pay attention to everything in myself. And it helped me understand everything I thought I knew around souls, spirituality, the universe, God. Like, it's annoying when you're learning how to get to it, but like, it's real peaceful. It's real nice once you like get that relationship built. But my word of advice, if you want to get into it and you can't believe in a higher power yet, because I understand the scientific side of like, if you can't prove it, what do I look like, a dumbass trying to prove things? You have to open up to experiencing things and call it in. Experiences that you cannot negate. Give yourself experiences and call them in that you can't deny. There's no explanation for them. Ask for a sign. Ask to be led by the universe, by God. If there is a God, okay, let's see it, girl. I want to open up to a connection with you. I want to open up to, I want to reconnect this rope from my soul to you. If this is a real thing, let's see it. My ear just started ringing so fucking loud. As a sign, yeah, you need to do it. Call it in and you'll experience it. And I kind of want to say, with the way that social media is and everything online, so many people are trying to sell you spirituality, coaching, courses, this, that, and a fucking third, books. Ugh. It's infuriating. Because you can't just get no direct information. A lot of religions and a lot of certain things I don't agree with a lot. It's like everybody wants to do old-timey rules, then make the new-timey rules. And everybody wants to pick and choose what they like, what they follow. Too many translations, everything. Go with your own intuition, your own gut, your own emotions. Try to understand your own emotions. Because that's the one thing science can't pin down. At all. That's your ticket in. That's like your way into understanding and opening up to that. Because once you can understand, you keep digging into understanding your own emotions. Why am I feeling it? Why am I thinking the way that I am? What perspectives am I holding? How have I gotten here? What would have to unlock for me to like understand things? What would I have to let go of? And what is the fear that I have around potentially being wrong? Look, you got to look at past trauma and past emotions, because this is like a block. When you don't want anything to do with spirituality, I've been there. It's that whole thing of like being wrong. If I trust this thing and I believe in this thing, the universe, God, whatever it is, and I'm wrong, that disappointment is worse. And that grief is worse to deal with than just kind of blocking it out and not even going down that path. So it's a big fear thing, fear-based thing. So that's why I'm giving you the advice of like, go through the self-trust route and things that you can experience. You might not be able to see it, but you can fucking feel it. When you pay attention to your own emotions, science can't even tell you, girl. They can't even understand it. They're trying to throw you a little pill to try and balance yourself out chemically. Girl, I've cried on cocaine. That should be a contradiction. How are you supposed to have dopamine running through your system and you can cry? That's like the opposite reaction you can have. How the fuck do that work? Emotions, I know you can't touch them and you can't see them, but you can feel them. And it's all going to be a subjective experience. But everybody has different words and labels and explanations for everything. But it all filters in through the same thing. So go inside yourself to feel it and it's all going to make sense. You will also see what's bullshit and what's not. Oh, funny, this one came up next. How do you know what your gut is really telling you? How do you know it's going to work out? And how do you know that it's your gut or your spirit? If it ends up being uncomfortable, how do you know it's the right thing and not just the feeling or anxiety? Okay. So the way that I can explain it, you got to let every emotion settle first. Intuition is not going to scream to be heard. Your soul is not going to scream. So if you got thoughts, your own worries, doubts, fears, ideas, this, that, and a third, your intuition's always talking, but it's not going to scream for airtime. It's not going to scream for the spotlight. It's just going to be a still knowing. That's just always in the back of your fucking head. So whenever I'm feeling anxious about something or feeling worried or guilty or I feel obligated, I sit down. And I observe the obligation. I observe, okay, I was about to take this action out of guilt. I felt bad. I was about to take this action because I was anxious and I'm trying to like alleviate it. I feel fear. I feel whatever it is. All those things, like you observe it all. And it's like letting the muddy water settle. It's annoying. And a lot of people say this, but it's what's worked for me. But it's not like you just sit there and fucking meditate. I'm not that far yet. I don't like meditating. But this is my own kind of version of it. It's like just let everything settle for a second so you can hear yourself. And then anything you were thinking about doing, like you were going to make a decision or make a certain choice. After you've sat there for a second and you're back to your kind of like, okay, baseline, you've seen all the fear, the doubt, the worry, the anxiety, you've watched it all kind of go by, you see what's going on. Any action you're thinking of taking, ask yourself, is this out of guilt? Do I actually want to do this thing? Is this out of anxiety? Is this out of fear? Any action you take from an emotional standpoint is not going to be the right one to take. So if you know, just for whatever reason, I should get up and do a certain thing, but you're just like, I don't want to, trust it. It's your kind of like stillness and that inner knowing coming through. That's the intuition that you're so talking. You might see every logical reason of why you should do something, but you're just like, I don't want to do it. For whatever reason, it's like, no. If you're like, I wish I could just not do it, that's the answer. Flip a coin. That's another trick. Flip a coin, put one answer on one side, one answer on the other. And while the coin is in the air, pay attention to which side you hope it lands on. That's your soul talking. And the other thing, when you get a random weird insight or a thought or an idea for something, the intuition and whatever message or thought you hear or like thing that you feel, it's never gonna be through fear, anxiety, or emotion. It's just gonna be a subtle knowing. Emotions will come after you observe that. So if you just get like a gut reaction to something of like no or yes or leave, like when I'm out in public sometimes, I just get a gut reaction of like leave now. And it's not like a urgency, like get out, panic. It's like, let's leave now. It's like a calm knowing. And then my body and my mind will react to me observing that of like, oh, fuck, something's wrong. That's when the anxiety comes out. But intuitive messages are never going to come through an anxious feeling. It's never going to come as a panic, as a fear, as a That's going to be a reaction to something that you just interpreted. Does that make sense? Does that help a little bit? But listen to it. And also, if you don't know, if it's an anxiety thing, just stop for a second. Because there's certain times I've been in public and I just feel weird. And I'm like, okay, is it my intuition or am I overstimulated? So I'll just stand there for a second, breathe, look at my environment, and then I'll pay attention to if I hear that like nudge of like, let's go or let's not. Don't take an action out of just like fear or overstimulation. You got to check in first. Like, what's the real thing to do? Should I leave? Should I stay? Because sometimes it's like a character building moment. You need to stay in the discomfort. But there's other times where it's actually your intuition of like, get out, bitch, something's wrong. So That's kind of how I decipher it.
Not clear at all,
but you feel it. That's the thing that's not clear. It's hard to articulate it, but when you get good at feeling it, you're going to be like a professional. You're just going to know things.
Nice.
Okay, next person said, how do you find balance in treating yourself and financial wellness? I have two full-time jobs because kids are expensive. I found massages and skincare as a good reward for working so much, but I also have a scarcity mindset. I don't know how to not feel guilty or broke doing minor things for myself. You're not more in alignment because you're stressed out. You're not more in alignment because you're guilty. You're not more in alignment because you're exhausted. You're not better because you're exhausted. You're not better because you restrict things from yourself. And you're not better because you beat yourself up for treating yourself. So if you're going to treat yourself, do it and shut the fuck up in the nicest way possible. Enjoy it. Like, do you get what I'm saying with the alignment thing and the guilt and you're not better because you beat yourself up for it? Like, enjoy the moment. Why are you doing it if you're going to rob it from yourself? It's like buying yourself a birthday cake and you won't let yourself blow out the candles. Like, oh, I feel bad to blow out the candles. That's what you're supposed to do. Supposed to enjoy it. Blow out the candles to eat the cake. If you're going to do something for yourself, do the skincare. Relax. Do it. Not take care of yourself. Enjoy it. Enjoy the things that you do for yourself. And stop with the bullshit. Why are you doing it if you're going to rob yourself of the experience? Like, be pissed off that you rob yourself. Like, you're doing something nice for yourself. Getting a massage. But if you lay in there stressing out the whole time, you're just wasting money. Because your brain wouldn't shut up. Just relax into it. Enjoy it. What's so bad about that? You're not better because you're robbing yourself of joy. You must smell miserable. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to be the same way. And I still deal with certain things here and there. But enjoy it. You weren't sent to this life to suffer. And if you have the means to treat yourself, do it. As soon as you stop feeling guilty around treating yourself and letting treating yourself become your state of normal, it's going to be provided in weird ways to help you. So expect that. That's what you do. You get to the point where you allow it. You feel safe to do things for yourself. You have to feel safe with it first. And then you start to expect it. And then it will unfold. But while you're over here beating yourself up, playing the whole guilt game, if all you do when you treat yourself is a sign of feeling state of guilt, you feel safe to feel guilt when you do for yourself. So you feel like you deserve it. It's a shitty little cycle. Get out of it. Trust me. Enjoy it. Have fun. Have a nice time. And then expect it. That's another way to word it. Take care of yourself so much that you expect yourself to take care of yourself. And God and the universe and your life will reflect that. You can expect to be taken care of. And other things are going to start doing it too. Not just you. But it starts from the inside. That's a good little tidbit to add. Okay, next person said, hey, Leo. Hey, Gra. Why is nobody talking about how hard it is to make friends as a young adult? Because people are fucking weird, to be honest. And everybody's so performative about everything. Everybody's trying to earn everybody's approval. Everybody's trying to be liked instead of being themselves. So it's like, who are you really being friends with? I don't know. Everybody got a mask on. But that's one thing I'm excited about. I haven't told y'all yet. I told Substack, but along with my clothing line that I'm coming out with, I decided to make merch again with all my sayings that I love. The not above violence, the aware and aggravated. So we have merch for the podcast. And there's a couple more quotes that I'm going to do. But my soul fed me the little idea of making the merch again for situations like this. Because when I'm out in public, I get recognized everywhere I go. So much all the time. I love it. I love when you guys say hi. But tapping into that, I want y'all to be able to find each other too. Because everyone that has linked up through meeting me, like when I was on tour, people who meet through Substack, people who just meet through social media, like shared love for me. We all think the same. We all got the same kind of morals and values. So I want to make the merch again at like an entry level price point where everybody can be in the family. And when you wear it out in public, as recognizable as I am, you could take a piece of that and be recognizable to other people who think like you. So if you see somebody else out in a shirt that says wearing aggravated or not above violence or any of my other little quotes I'm going to do, you'll see soon. End of this month we're talking. It's coming. I've been working on it. But when you see other people with that, go up to them and say hi. That's how you guys can find each other. So I want to help like make my presence be useful. You guys love me, I love you. Now go find each other. I want to make it like a family thing, like a family vibe, you know? And that's a good way for everybody to kind of effortlessly find friends. because I'm very recognizable. Let's let all this fame be presumptive. I want to bring everybody together. But don't buy my merch if you're a piece of shit. That's one thing I will say. I want everybody who buys the merch to be like this. Like when you meet other people in public with my merch on, it's like friends immediately. It's like, oh my God, it's like my family, my friend. It's like, I want you to have that vibe. So if you're somebody who ain't got no morals and you like morally bankrupt and you don't got no character to you, don't buy my fucking merch. Well, you could buy it if you want, wear it at the house. But if you're like a good person, you relate to what I say and you're with it, wear it and go find each other, you know? I don't want the bad apples spoiling the bunch. But yeah, that should help soon. Oh my, oh. Okay, this one cuts a little close to home. Is it okay to cut ties with a parent? Yep. This person said, my father and I have never gotten along. We have always just fought and argued my entire life. Now I'm a mom. I don't want that relationship dynamic around my son or myself. Am I an asshole for wanting to cut ties with my dad permanently for my own mental health? No. And that's one thing I don't like is when parents, kids grow up and parents act like it's all on the child to maintain the connection with the parent. No, that's not how it goes. You can have boundaries and standards for anybody in your life. And if your parent don't match that, they don't match that. There is going to be a lot more leniency when it's family. That's how everybody is and that's how it should be. But you're not bad or you're not wrong for that. Like you said, you're a mother now and you see the destructive little dynamic that your dad has with you. You don't want it around your kid. So let that be awareness and like a reflection. How much you love your child, you want to protect them from that. That lets you know it is as bad as you think and it is something to protect your kid from. So validate yourself with that. I'll do it for you. But there's nothing wrong with telling a family member, especially your parent, look, I love you. I'm always going to be here if you need me. But I do not want to talk. I don't want to be in contact. I want distance. And I want that to be respected. You should always try to explain and give them some kind of context. But if they're not going to hear it, and you've tried and you've explained and explained and explained, and they don't get it, you just got to accept, okay, I'm not going to keep trying to explain it to you. It's not going to be a fight. This is what it is. I don't want you involved in my life. But like I said, I'm always going to be there for you. I'm always going to be loyal to you. If you need me, I'm there. At the end of the day, if something bad happens, you got me. But this is how I want things to go forward. I would like that to be respected. And you can leave it there. And you ain't bad for that. I've had to do that with multiple family members. That's more than I give some. Some I don't want to fucking speak to again another day in my life. And I won't. But some family members, I will always have that loyalty of like, I'm going to be there if you need me at the end of the day. But just leave me the fuck alone, you know? Like, you showed your ass. Okay. Be gone. Oh, here we go. Would you get back together with somebody that cheated on you?
No. Hell no. Never, ever.
And I will say, one time I caught an ex of mine talking to other people on Kick a long time ago. Kick. I got a makeup gift. I got a Rolex for a makeup gift.
It ain't worth it. Don't stay. Don't nothing. I don't care what they buy you. Throw it at them.
I did that too. But just leave. I tried to do the whole thing. I'll go make together. Try work it out.
No.
Leave. Once they cheat, it's over. But I do want to give you a little bit more of like a rational approach to why I say this so rigidly. For someone to cheat on you, if we're dating and you feel whatever you feel emotionally, and you decide to go step out of the relationship and go get needs met or get comfort with somebody else or do something with somebody else at the expense of me, I will never trust you again in my life because I cannot control what you feel. And if you will not even come to me with what you feel and try to let me help you deal with it or address it or fix something, or even give me the decency just to break it off, I'm never gonna trust you. So it's not that I don't trust you. I don't trust your relationship to your emotions and your ability to still prioritize me when you are emotional. That's why I say, once you cheat, it's over forever. And also you touch somebody else. No, you're lucky I don't cut your fucking limbs off, okay? No, not happening. I'm Albanian. I don't play that. I get upset real bad. Oh, y'all making me need a cigarette. Okay, next person said, can self-sabotage be a kink? I never thought about it like that. But yeah, I don't think it's a kink, but I think it's a baseline of normal. Like, what is your normal? If proving yourself and chasing success is your feeling of normal, yeah, anytime you get close to success or get a taste of it to sabotage yourself, to go back to having to prove, yeah, that's just getting you back to the place that you feel safe. And also how you feel alive. When you're constantly chasing things is when you feel alive. So it can be kind of like a kink, like a satisfaction thing. I don't think it's a sexual thing, but from this standpoint, yeah, absolutely. I've gone through that so many times, because when you get to success, who you are when you're on your way is a whole different person than the person who actually receives the success. A lot of things about your self-concept have to die and have to go. A lot of limiting beliefs have to be released, or you will sabotage in a way where you can't, one, be a vibrational match to it, or two, you actually sabotage it without realizing it to keep yourself safe. Because actually having the thing that you want, if you don't feel like you can never be enough, if you have issues with feeling like you are enough, you will sabotage it. You won't be able to accept it or allow it. You'll be stuck in that proving yourself phase. So anytime you get up against something where you no longer have to prove yourself, nah, you don't want that. You ain't gonna like that. You ain't gonna accept that, because you don't know how to just accept something. So yeah, watch out. Okay, next person said, how to start thinking more positive about life when everything I've done has gone wrong and left me with no hope. You should feel helpless. I'm never gonna look at you in a situation like this, because when I was going through periods like this in my life, like no matter what I'm doing, it goes wrong. I felt like God had his thumb on me. It's like every time I would set up a domino, he would flick it the other fucking way. Anytime I was doing anything, it would go dead ass wrong. So the hopeless you feel, duh. I'm gonna validate that hopelessness for you so you can get the hell out of it. You should feel hopeless with everything that you've been trying and the way you've been living. That way of living is hopeless. This is how you set yourself free to go another direction. So yeah, what you're being waken up to is go a different route. There's thousands of ways to get to the same place. So switch what you're doing. Switch how you're living. If you don't like it, duh, stop doing it. You've been trying it. What's another way you could do it? What's another approach entirely? And if you're only doing things so that they can work, that whole frustration of like, everything I try and do is not working. Yeah, it's not meant to, it's not gonna. If it was gonna work, if it was meant to work, it would have already. You meant to change how you're doing it. You gotta feel better while you're doing it. Oh, I hate to say that, but you've watched it with me. Since March of this year, I gave up my whole approach to forcing through life. And that's how I gave up cocaine and was able to like stay off of it. Still haven't touched it. Also with the vape, haven't touched the vape since the last 2 weeks I talked to you. Yeah, I don't care about the damn vape no more. I'd be having my cigarettes still. But the whole hitting the vape all day, every day, no, I don't do it. But one more thing I want to say about this. You're not meant to feel positive about it. If everything's not working, you're not meant to feel positive about it, because you would keep fucking trying. Don't. Let me just save you the headache, save you any more time frustration. Go another route. Feel better about it. Look at yourself. Why do you not like it? What's really bothering you? What's upsetting you? Because what I've learned is the way you think you're going to get there, there's always a faster and better route to get there. And if your route ain't working, give up the sense of control over how you have to get there. God's way of getting there is going to be way much more better. Trust me. Oh my God. Next. Oh my God. Y'all so messy. But I'm going to have you back a little. Next person said, my husband's friend and I kissed. He doesn't know. Okay. This is one of those things, you take it to the grave, all right? Shut up, don't do it again. Because you friends with me, I'ma correct you. I'm not gonna tell you piece of shit. Okay, you kissed him. Don't do that again, enough, okay? Have some common sense, have some wherewithal. And don't admit this to nobody else, all right? It dies with us. And leave it be. That's so embarrassing. Don't ever let him find out about this. And don't do it again. And don't do nothing, no type flirty, nothing with this friend. And get prepared to deny till you die. Because if this friend ever tries to come out and be like, oh, yeah, I kissed your wife. What the fuck? You better get prepared to gaslight, lie, manipulate everything. Okay? Be prepared to go against this dude and rag him. I would never. Have you seen him? Look at him. But also you can't be too reactive. You got to do it like an embarrassed, like, oh my girl, please. Oh. Find the best compliment you could give to your husband and throw it at him. You think I would cheat on a man who bought me all these Louis bags? You think I would cheat on a man who bought me a Chanel bag? You think I would cheat on a man who fucks like this? Do something where it's a situation like that. Like you're gassing up your man, but like you're humiliating, like, oh girl, please come on. You know what I mean? That I'm let me not teach you too much. But don't tell nobody. Stays between us. Don't do it again. Keep your fucking lips to your husband, little corva. Oh my God. Y'all would hate me if I was straight. Okay. Next person said, why do some men disguise insecurity as protectiveness? Like telling you to change into a modest outfit because other men might look at you. Because I'm dating someone who does this and I'm starting to wonder, am I being protected or controlled? Does it matter? Okay, this is different for me because I'm a dude who's into dudes. I don't even know if I'm into dudes. He's into dudes. I like girls. But if I was dating a girl, no, you're not going out and nothing revealing. And it's not because I don't want you to be yourself. I don't want you to... If I'm not with you, you're not dressing in a way where I know men will assume you're looking for a certain kind of attention. What is this fly that just came in my house? I think it was a moth. He's over on the wall hanging out. Okay, sit there and look pretty. Don't scare me because I'll kill you. But yeah, the whole thing with like men in public, men are disgusting. Genuinely. Like they have no common decency, respect. It's like it's kind of gone in today's day and age. And when a girl wears something revealing, men just have this stupid acting like they're the prize. They can do whatever they want. Because violence is illegal. Assault is illegal. That's it. You can't correct people like you could in the old days when there was no phones and cameras and everybody recording every fucking thing. You used to get in a fight and walk off, no problem. Even when I was younger, you can get away with a lot. But men nowadays just run amok doing a lot of shit. And if I'm dating a girl, if I catch wind, a guy did something to you. If he touched you, if he was too pushy, if he was weird, I'm going to show up where you're at. And I'm going to prison and he's going in a fucking ambulance. It's not going to be a good time. If I'm with you, wear whatever the hell you want. We going out, we looking good. I'm there to protect you. No one's going to step while I'm there. So there's also like a respect thing of like, if we're going somewhere nice, we could do like a little titty out, but the legs got to be covered. Or if the titties are covered, we're doing the legs out. You know what I mean? We could be sexy, but we're going to be classy about it. You ain't going out in no hoochie shit if we going somewhere like nice and fancy. We're going to dress to the occasion. But as a man, if I'm going to be over here critiquing what you're wearing, I'm buying it. So I'm going to put you in what I want you to wear. There's a way to do it with class as a guy. If you want a girl wearing a certain thing or a certain style, put that dress on I bought you. I want to see you in that. That's how you can do it without seeming like insecure and possessive and weird. Yeah, we're possessive. We're all possessive. And if he ain't possessive, he don't like you. But we also, as men, understand how other men are. And we don't want you getting subjected to certain things. And we don't want men looking at you like, oh, she's dressed like that. I can go grab her if I want to. I can go do whatever I want to her in the parking lot because she's a little drunk. She's looking for it. That's how these dumb motherfuckers justify things in their mind. Oh, she was asking for it because she wore a little mini skirt. No. That infuriates me even talking about it. But I would just tell the dude, honestly, take me shopping. Go pick me out and buy me what you want me to wear because I'm done dealing with this. If you want to be over here and play Barbie doll, okay, make the Barbie doll's closet. Make her take you shopping. Okay, next person said, my ex forced himself onto me once and we broke up. Now he comes back with regret and says he healed. What would you do? Pay attention to his words. He came back and said, I healed. Why is he not asking if you're okay? Have you healed? That shows he don't care and understand what he did to you had an implication to you. What is that about? He comes back and says, oh, I healed. Okay, not enough. Go do a little more. Maybe go drown in some holy water or something. Ooh. Come back, tell you, I healed after he did something to you, took advantage of you, held you down. No. Oh, I healed. I don't give a fuck. What did you have to heal from? Breaking up? Ooh. What would Leo do? Probably shoot him. Give him something new to heal from. Oh, next person asked, how do you get through tough times? I'm in some right now. Times is tough. Not really. Like, I explained at the beginning of this how I'm kind of going through some things and I'm like mid kind of breakthrough and I'm mid like shifting a lot in my life. It's like a lot of things are changing. I'm not emotionally, I've been kind of like all over the board a little bit and I'm understanding things and growing, but like there's a lot of grief and a lot of growing pains that happen and things I'm dealing with certain people. Certain people have passed recently and it's like a weird dynamic, but I'm letting myself have time. So I'm being with myself, doing my thing. I had a little martini tonight because I wanted to fucking chill out, relax. Okay. So be I had a little martini. Ooh, I love cigarette. Ooh. I just be there for myself. Get through the tough time. Okay, yeah. Adjust. Take the time. Reorient your life to kind of like being there for yourself and be there for you. Lean on the people around you. Hang out with your friends. Hang out with your family. Basically, just trust yourself that you're going to get through it. But don't sit over here and freak out. It makes it worse when you're like, oh, I'm having a tough time. It's always going to be like this. Playing doomsday about it. Catastrophe. Don't do all that. You're going to be fine. You've always been fine. You're going to figure it out. But I'm a living example of it. Like, I'm still making my podcast, but I switched the way that I'm going to talk about it and do it where it's not all about me and what I'm going through because I'm not ready to talk about it yet. Like, there's too much I'm still trying to understand. But I didn't want to force a podcast out, but then I thought about doing a What Would Leo Do? And I was like, that's fun. Y'all messy as hell. Y'all have fun things to talk about. So we'll get the pressure off of me where I can still do my job, basically, and make an episode, but it doesn't have to come at the cost of myself and like beating myself up to like go through a hard time emotionally and then talk about it before I'm ready. You know what I mean? Just be there for yourself. Continue doing what you want to do, but just switch your little approach. Be there for you, girl. Have a little martini. Oh my God. Okay, I was going to end it on that one, but someone said, I feel like you can be a functioning addict if the financial impact wasn't so bad. Or am I just stupid and an actual junkie since my brain don't work with no chemicals? Girl, I easily afforded my cocaine habit. I was real cut about it too. Had nice vials, gold trays, $100 bills I had. That's what I would do it out of. I wasn't doing nothing cheap. I made it very luxurious, very nice, fancy. Gold trays, gold platters, gold everything. No, you can't. Even if there's no negative financial implication or like impact, you're not there yet. And I was in the same place of like, I'm doing fine. I can afford. No, your brain's playing with you. What you're doing is soothing something. You're coping through life. So to cope forever, it's not going to work. That's just the core of it. But I understand going through certain things where you're not ready to quit because nobody could have told me to quit before I was ready because you can't keep living your life in a way where you have to cope with it. You have to change your entire life. And until you get that and you're ready for it, it's not going to be something that like you can force or you will relapse. You will go back to shit. But I've talked openly about a lot of my whole cocaine addiction and everything and like how I retried it again when I went to Miami one time. And then I was like fully done with it. And I'm like, okay, now I have a whole new outlook on it and I have zero urge for it. Since that, it's been a couple months now. I have no desire for it. And it's weird to say it. And I looked at myself in the mirror the other day and I was like, Leo, we don't do coke no more. I was like, oh my God, look at us. Like, what the fuck? I never thought I would be at a point where I could like say that. Cause I used to look at myself in the mirror and I was like, what the fuck have I turned into? Like I was looking at a couple of my old podcasts from like the beginning of this year, how skinny I was, how like gaunt and like, I thought everything's fine. I thought you couldn't tell. I was fucking dying inside. Oh my God. It has more of an impact than you think. It's not just financial. Financial is the easiest part to deal with. So don't let that kind of sway you. I hate to like tell you the truth about it, but I've thought the same thing. But yeah, you're going to have to quit. It's just when you're ready. Or life will force you to. So that's just the kind of thing you got to understand is like you're living in a way where you have to cope with your life. So you cannot cope forever. That's the sad truth. Oh my God. Okay, wait. One more. One more then we're going to be done. All right. Someone said, I just came into $60,000. I'm 23. What do I do with it? How do I provide for my family through a more passive system? I want a Volvo S60 T5R design. Girl, you're not buying no damn car. 60 grand. My first piece of advice I'm going to tell you, what I did when I first came into like a chunk of money, it was like 80,000 that hit me. I was living like kind of frugal, like, and then I finally got my first like chunk of cash come in and I was like, whoa, $80,000. Sit with it. Hold it. Understand what it feels like to have that in your bank account. The way you're going to walk through life and see things is with a whole different level of comfort. And you're going to notice so much of your stress is gone. When you go to the store and you want to buy a water, you want to buy a pack of gummy bears, you want to buy four fucking packs because you can. You're like, I have the option to do that. I have the option to just like go through life and not stress. I have the option to call in work if I want because I'm not over here scared. I don't need the extra money this week. I can drop a shift. Experience the freedom from the stress, the mental turmoil, the every constant thing you're doing, being worried about money. Sit with the money in your account and get comfortable with that. That's the hard part though, is when you come into money, you're not used to that feeling of having it. You're used to the stress of constantly worrying about it and not being able to do everything. Sit with it and see what it feels like. Get comfortable in that frequency and that positioning in your life of like having that in your bank account. What does it feel like? When you go through life, you're just going to walk a little taller, be like, wait, I can breathe for a second. Don't go blow the money before you can experience that. Because when you're over here and you're going to go buy all this shit out of excitement and, oh, I can finally do this, make your big purchases, don't do it. Because you're going to rob yourself of that chance of like finally getting to sit there with the cash. And be like, okay, I have the 60 grand. Sit there for at least a week. I'd say a month. At least a week, sit there and don't touch it. Just experience what it's like having it. And then you'll get clarity around what's exciting, what's not. What is worth the peace that I now feel? What's worth the mental freedom I now have? My little peace I have now going through life. What's worth losing that? Is a car worth it? I didn't upgrade my car for 5 years. I got a Chrysler in 2019 when I started working as a nurse. I bought it for myself. And I didn't buy a new car until 2025. I ordered it in 2024 at the end. And then it got delivered 2025. Brand new, customized, everything. Just trust me. Sit there with it and enjoy having it for a little bit. Okay? That's my advice. ND23, chill out. But that's it. That's all we got for this week. All we got for our What Would Leo Do? But I'll leave a link in the description for the little What Would Leo Do submission thing. So you can go submit it. And the next time I want to do What Would Leo Do, I'll go through and I'll read it and see if I pick yours. But I'll also put all my social media and shit in the description. You can go find me, my app. Also, I'll put my Substack. That's where I go live, like a private little family thing. But yeah, everything you need from me is in the description. What are we going to comment this week? What emoji do you want to do? I don't know. Maybe like a little butterfly something. Because a little moth came to visit. Oh, he left. He had something to do. But comment a little butterfly emoji. Or a moth if there's a moth. I don't know. But that'll be our emoji for this week to see who made it this far in the episode. But yeah, I don't think I have anything else to tell you. Sunglasses and tank tops will be coming out next month. Merch, end of this month. Maybe first week of July. But a lot of cool shit's on the way. I'm so excited. But that's it. It's all we got for this week. Everybody be safe. Take care of yourself. Love you so bad. I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.